What is God's kingdom that we should seek it first, is the question. The Word of God, resident in the frame of reference, is an important component. And yes, it is a government. The kingdom of God, kingdoms refer to governments. Right? I don't have to live in a country to live in the kingdom of that country. Right? I can be an ambassador, and I still am subject both in responsibility and in privilege to that country, right? To the authority of that country. So it's not a question of so much where I am, but who I belong to. We are, by our very position, citizens of New Jerusalem. That is not something we can change. We are born of the New Jerusalem by virtue of being born of the Spirit. So we are citizens of the New Jerusalem. Okay, and I don't think there's anybody who would have a difficult time with that, right? I mean, this is what it means to be born again. And so we are citizens of the New Jerusalem. Now, how do we manifest that citizenship? Whenever I hear a question like that, I think of Benjamin Franklin. I'm not sure why, but I think because of the historical context of who he was. First, he helped to establish the nation, and then he represented the nation to protect it and to help it grow. So when I hear stuff like that, I think of him. It's similar to, we have a similar position. I think it's a good analogy of what Benjamin Franklin had for the United States. Okay, we're not the head of the kingdom. Okay, but we are members, in some respects founders in an experiential sense, and then ambassadors of the kingdom. So we have this place similar to what Benjamin Franklin did, an analogy. Except, of course, of the New Jerusalem. Okay, so now what does it mean to seek first the kingdom? And how does that look, if you will? In other words, what is the experience of seeking first the kingdom? Okay. Well, we have not chosen God. God has chosen us, first of all. Okay, so it's not that we choose the kingdom. The kingdom has chosen us. How is it that then anybody has a free volition? Because it has chosen us on the basis of foreknowledge. Right? Foreknowledge, of course, being a part of all knowledge. So in God's foreknowledge, He has chosen us to enter into His kingdom because He knew what our free volition would do. Okay? So we have been chosen, we have been predestinated. There's only one who has been predestinated. We individually have not been predestinated. Only Christ has been predestinated. Our predestination comes in God's plan to our conformity to His image and because we are in Him. And so because we are in Him, we've also been, you know, we've been crucified with Him, buried together, raised together, and predestinated with Christ. Often we don't think of that I'm predestinated in Christ portion. This is where proper fellowship is important. Unless a person is hidden in the body of Christ, they cannot have the experience of Christ's predestination. In other words, how is it that God conforms me to that which He has predestinated by being buried in the body of Christ? Right, my position is seated above in heavenly places in Christ. My experience is seated above in the body of Christ. And it's the body of Christ that has been given the keys to death and hell, right? To the church, over the authority over hell. Right? As Jesus said to Peter. What does it mean and how does it look that we seek first the kingdom of God? Well, the Word of God says that three things are required in Malachi. Right? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. Okay? And this is how I seek first the kingdom of God. First, I am empowered by the Word of God through the Holy Spirit's initiation to my heart. So as the Holy Spirit brings the life of God into the frame of reference of the believer, the believer is empowered and quickened, if you will, energized, if you will, by God's Word, God's presence, and God's character. Okay, why do I say by God's character? Because my faith works by love. And so if I don't know the character of God, if I don't have the Word of God, and if I don't practice the presence of God, then in a practical, experiential sense, I will not be seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, those three things empower me to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. What does it mean to do justly? To do justly means to live, practice the finished work. The justice of God was poured out on the Savior. The Savior said, "It is finished." And it happened before the foundation of the world. And so the justice of God means I live and I practice. My whole frame of reference, my way of thinking, is the finished work. So I do justly. I love mercy. What does that mean? Well, where does mercy come from? What is mercy the manifestation of? Mercy is the manifestation of the throne of grace, right? Hebrews 4:16. I come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. And so what I have is the practical outworking of God's authority and kingdom and authoritative precept of rule, which is grace. So when I live in mercy, when I practice mercy, I'm actually implementing the authority of the throne of God. And so in my outward manifestation and in my inward meditation, it's all mercy. So I live in the finished work. My frame of reference is mercy. And then finally, I walk humbly. What does it mean that I walk humbly? What does it mean to have humility? To have humility simply means I'm no longer a consideration in my own thoughts, in my own frame of reference. Well, what is that called? That's the cross. So humility is in fact a practical outworking of the cross in somebody's life. And this is also what it says in Revelation 12, that they overcame him, right? How did they overcome him? The enemy, right? The word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb, right? So you have the word, the justly, do justly, love mercy, blood of the Lamb, okay? They love not their own life unto the end, okay? The cross of Christ, okay? Being a reality in my life. And so, seeking first the kingdom of God is in fact the very key and the foundation to all of the Christian life. Seeking first the kingdom of God is the very foundation that I have to overcome the enemy in a practical way. Seeking first the kingdom of God is the very foundation that I have of drawing near to God and getting to know Him. Everything is about seeking first the kingdom of God. But if you could take all the precepts of the Bible, not so much the promises, but the promises included, but the precepts of the Bible, that if you were to put them into one phrase, it would be seek first the kingdom of God. Right? If you could put the entire Bible, the promises and the precepts together, then you would have God loves you. Seeking first the kingdom of God, that's a good question. Seeking first the kingdom of God is the key to everything. It's the key to everything. It's the key to having the right life. If I don't have that, then I may as well just hang it up. There's so much of Christianity, and this is, in fact, really, if you think about it, this is in fact the Laodicean spirit, that I seek the kingdom of God as part, but not first. What do I mean? Christians will frequently say, I seek first the kingdom of God, when they don't really. Not all Christians by any means. There's many Christians who are wonderful believers who really, you know, they're perfect with God. But there are also those who are really not there, but they think they are. And what happens is they seek first according to natural evaluation and preference. So if it suits me at the moment, I'll seek first the kingdom. But as soon as a challenge comes, I'll seek something else. And therein is the entire difference, right? Therein's the entire difference. That's what really makes up the Laodicean spirit. So anyway, does that answer your question?